Whenever you're ready, Chairman.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and bring to order the regularly scheduled Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for Tuesday, November 14th. First item on the agenda is roll call.
Chairman Lee Young. Vice Chairman Dana Hennis.
Present.
Commissioner Brian Clark.
Present.
Commissioner Ginny Grieger.
Present.
Commissioner Jim Main.
Present.
Thank you. And it looks like the first thing up on our agenda is the public hearings for case number 23-08.
Sir, consent agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before a motion is made,
I'd like to announce that the meeting minutes for the last meeting on October 24th. There is, at the title of those minutes, it says Planning and Zoning Agenda, not minutes. So that has been corrected for your signature tonight. But if your motion could include that correction, please.
Thank you. So I will retract that. I will go back to first item on our agenda is the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the consent agenda.
I second that.
With the amended title.
Thank you. Still seconded?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Now on to the public hearings. So first up is case number 23-08-SUP, special use permit for Virgie's Child Care. I probably hacked that one. I'm sorry.
Good evening, Commission. Hopefully you don't get sick of my voice this evening. For the record, Associate Planner Jessica Hall, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. Applicant requests special use permit to operate an in-home daycare for up to 6 children, Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., located at 6628 South Nordine Avenue. The applicant has held the required neighborhood meeting and proper public noticing was provided, in accordance with Idaho Code 67-65, Local Land Use Planning Act. The applicant holds the required certifications and her state license is in process. If approved this evening, the applicant will be able to complete her state licensing process as she has met local requirements and will also receive her CUNA daycare business license, upon signing of the findings of fact and conclusions of law. With that, I will answer any questions you may have. The applicant is present but does not wish to speak unless you have specific questions.
Okay, thank you. So with that, I'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Actually, I should ask, does anybody have any questions for her first?
No.
Okay. Okay, so with that, I will go ahead and open the public hearing at 6:07. And not seeing anybody signed in on the sheet, I'll ask the audience, is there anybody in here that would like to say anything for the public hearing on this application that has not signed in? Okay, so seeing none, I will go ahead and close the public hearing at 6:08 for that, and that will go to our discussion. Jim?
He's looking at me.
Yes, I'm looking at the other end of the table. You know, as usual, I think that we need daycares in the area, just as a matter of ease for people to find childcare and locally. And so I have no issue with the childcare in this situation. I think it'll be a benefit to the community.
Yeah, I as well. I think this one's pretty straightforward. She's got all the needed certifications in place, and it's just going through the rest of the checklist. So I don't see any issue with this one.
No, nor do I.
Nor do I. There isn't any neighbors' objections, and she's gone through the paperwork, and I really appreciate that she's gone through the proper licensing and doing it the
exactly
correct way.
So with that, I would stand for a motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 23-08-SUP for Virgie's childcare to include any staff comments and recommendations.
Seconded.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. That motion passes. So next up on the agenda is case number 23-05-AN, the annexation for 5200 South Black Cat. Jessica?
Hello again, commissioners. For the record, Associate Planner Jessica Hall, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The applicant requests to annex 18.04 acres into CUNA city limits with an R4 medium density residential zone. This R4 zone request meets the comprehensive plan future land use map designation of medium density residential. The applicant has submitted a complete application and all public noticing requirements per Idaho Code 67-65 Local Land Use Planning Act have been met. This parcel is eligible for a Category A annexation per Idaho Code 50-222, annexation by cities, and has attached to current CUNA city limits to the east and northeast via the Grand Prado subdivision. There is no development currently associated with this application. However, a concept plan for future subdivision development has been provided. If the commission recommends approval of this annexation request to council, a development agreement will be provided for review by the public and the council as part of the exhibits linked in the staff report. And the development agreement has not been provided this evening as the commission is not a recommending or decision-making body for this item per CUNA City Code Title 1, Chapter 14, Section 3. Other than that, the applicant has met the requirements for a complete application and meets our comprehensive plan and local code and Idaho code. And I will answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Is there any questions from the commission?
Not at this time.
No.
Okay. Would the applicant like to come forth? And please state your name and address for the record as you come up.
Make sure it touches that red light. It will turn to green for Oher. Yep, and you can drive on that mouse right there.
Good evening, commission. This, my name is Jay Gibbons. My business address is 2002 South Vista in Boise. This is simple at this point. My client would like to be in the city of CUNA. We're in the area of city impact. Future development would be through the city of CUNA. And right now, we don't have access to city services, and that's why we just have a concept plan just to show the city a basic layout, and that way the city is not tied to a development plan because there are no services available. Where is?
Just scroll down.
Piece of cake. All right. So we're about 1,300 feet south of Amity, the corner of Amity and Black Cat, northeast corner of that, or northwest corner of the pink area city impact line. The black square, or the square with the black border, is our property. We have the Mason Creek feeder, as well as the Reidenbaugh High Line, that both course in and out and through the property. We're proposing when development happens, we'll come back to the city with a preliminary plat, amend the development agreement per the decisions that are made on a preliminary plat at that point. We're willing to hang and wait. The beauty of that is if the city annexes us, we can be in the city limits themselves. The city gets to gain the revenues from city taxes versus them going to the county. It also guarantees us that the city doesn't change the area city impact through negotiation with the city of Meridian. I mean, that happened years ago. Meridian's area city impact went to Lake Hazel, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. So we want to kind of lock down to be in the city of CUNA itself. We're going to pay taxes. The city will know that we're going to need services. How and where and what form that takes will be a number of years. We're trying to be ahead of the game and be good neighbors and provide the city the warning that, you know, someday this property will develop according to your plans and your codes. The benefit, as I said, to the city is we can't develop until city services are available. There's no impact on current city services. It just ensures that we come to the city for everything that we need in the future. And a development agreement also will set the parameters for future development within the city itself. So why are we coming to the city now is we want to provide a good faith effort and help the city implement your vision for growth. Like I say, we're gonna pay city property taxes, and we're gonna wait. And this project or this property and future project is a legacy to Dr. Fuzzy Stewart. John Stewart owns the property. He lives out of state, but he grew up here. He has four siblings that do still live in Ada County. And Fuzzy Stewart he was a doctor. Roots in cancer treatment, Mountain States Tumor Institute back in the day, and many other doctorly endeavors. So one of the things we're going to have to mitigate down the road, of course, is with the school district, and we want to do that. We've reached out to the district, and we're going to enter into talks and figure out how to come up with we have an idea regarding through the HOA. The school district has their voluntary fees per household at this point, and what form this all takes, we're willing to start that conversation early and not down the road. So when we come for a preliminary plat, 3-5 years, whatever it takes, we'll have all those ducks in a row and be able to come before you and say, hey, here's what we've done. It's in the works. It's in. We're ready to roll. It's not, well, you need to go talk to them and haggle it out. We're doing that up front. There's also, because we have waterways coursing through, the city has a pathways plan. We will be working with the city to implement that. And hopefully the connections will you know, be to and through our property at that point. I used to be a pathways guy in the city of Meridian, so I know how these plans work. And beyond that, of course, Public Works has addressed what's going to have to be done down the road, specifics, and that's an engineering solution that we will get into when we, you know, from our concept, we'll tighten that up and make sure it fits the code and the city's wishes. But, you know, at that time, we'll be making road improvements. We don't have to make road improvements right now. There's nothing that's going to increase the use of this property until such time as we come back for the preliminary plat. So hopefully, that's what I have to present tonight, and hopefully you'll see fit to give us a positive recommendation, and we'll go forth to the city council and see how this goes. But I'll stand for questions.
Thank you. Is there any questions at this time? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, I'll go ahead and open the public testimony at 6:18. And just to remind everybody, the procedures are that you get 3 minutes to present your point of view. And after everybody's done with that, we'll have hopefully some rebuttal from the applicant if there's any questions that he can address. And then we'll go to our discussion. So I will start with the first name that I have out here that would like to testify is Elizabeth.
Yeah. Elizabeth Keckers, I'm with the applicant team, and I will pass for now.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And Danielle? And again, if you state your name and address for the record as everybody comes up.
Of course. Hello, everyone. Danielle Horace, CUNA School District, 711 East Porter. Good evening, commissioners, and thanks for this opportunity to speak in support of this development. So I just want to remind folks here, I know you all know, last year our CUNA school board met, and they've authorized me to work with developers to find a way to make sure that every student in CUNA has a place to learn. Where we're sitting now is we are 95% capacity with our students, and that's not counting the developments that are already coming and already through the pipeline. So we have regularly and routinely hit the code red button and said, we need help. And I want to lift up the words that you just heard from this developer. The term good faith is exactly what we're seeing from this team. And I just want to say that this is something that we hope for. These are agreements that we hope we can work together for, because we know good schools sell good homes and build good communities. And so we want to work together with developers, not in opposition. And this group is showing that ability to work together. I also want to make it be on record that we still need to pass a bond. We still need to do that. So we need all these different ways of doing that. And what we hear from our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas is that they don't think it's fair that every dollar for growth is in their pocketbook or out of their pocketbook. So if we can have more developers like the one you just heard, I think we can open up the perceptions and voting of our citizens, and we can open up the schools so that our students are having the education quality that they deserve. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next one up is it Maria Palmer? You did not mark whether you wanted to speak or not. No? Okay. Thank you. And Beverly Wolf?
Yes, Beverly Wolf, 3420 West Commemoration Avenue. Thank you for letting me speak. At first, when I saw this project, I was like, why? Why do we need more houses here? But reading a little bit through their application and what they've just spoken about, I put myself down as neutral because I think what they're planning is better. I wish every developer did this. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I found interesting in comparing this to some other neighboring projects is, why did they come forward with their flood zone plan and their rating on what's going on their land, and how come that's not applied to other projects that are along canals? That's really all I had to say about that. I'm curious why it doesn't apply to everybody, but thank you. And in this case, since they're going to wait, I hope they get what they need.
Thank you. Okay. And with that, I do not see anybody else on the list. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak that hasn't? Okay. If you all or both of you would come up and sign in for me, and then you'll have your turns. And just which column you want to be in. Okay. Okay. And you in favor? Go ahead and fill out this one. Yeah, no worries. Okay. Thank you. If you would like to go on up.
Hi, my name is Linda Moen, and I own a piece of property at the corner of Amity and Black Cat, which right on the corner, and this parcel, of course, is just south of us. And I would just like to speak to that I'm in support of that so that we can have some continuity in our neighborhood as it develops, and it would be really nice to have a nice builder down there that brought everything together, so I'm in support.
Thank you. And next up, Kathy.
Hi, I'm Kathy Sherman, Kathy Stewart Sherman. I'm John Stewart's sister, and I live in Boise, have lived in Idaho now for over 40 years. and have deep roots here. All my kids go to school here. And I just want to say that this is a well thought out and with a lot of looking into building good community here in CUNA. This isn't just a money-making kind of development. This is really, it has heart. I work housing homeless veterans, and we're in a crisis in this valley of finding, decent housing for folks. And this is one little pebble to drop in that sea that will help. So thank you for this consideration. Thank you.
Okay, and with that rounds out everybody on the list. So I'll go ahead and...
Vice Chairman, if you will do so for me, will you read the names and addresses for the last two speakers as they weren't read into the record?
Yes, so Kathy Sherman is at 3208 Treasure Drive. And that's Boise, correct? Yeah. Oh, yes. And then Linda... terrible at your last name.
Moen,
okay. At 4655.
West Amity.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, so I guess if the applicant has any rebuttal, you have an opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jay Gibbons again, applicant. There isn't much to rebut. There is one clarification as far as the comp plan designation. R4 is one of three. It's R4, R6, R8 are all medium density residential. But we asked for the lowest of that, so that's where we're headed.
Okay.
Thank you.
And with that, I'll close the public testimony on this application at 6:26. And that brings up our discussion.
So he hit on it just a little bit. I'm looking at the future development site plan, and right now it is, we do have some of that, R8 stuff sitting here. So I guess that's one thing I would just like clarified. It does sound like the intent is to push towards the R4. So that's just one of the things I want to cite and understand.
Was that a question for me, sir? I'm sorry.
It'll be a question for the developer at the end of the conversation here.
I know the staff report says that they're applying with an R4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if that's the way we're going, just looking at the site plan right now, it doesn't necessarily speak to that. So that's okay. All I'm saying. All right, that's all. That's what brings up the question.
Uh-huh.
Everything else looks good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for my point of view, it seems like it's pretty straightforward. They're, trying to get in and help the city by accruing some taxes prior to the infrastructure getting out to them. So to me, it seems like they're thinking ahead. They want to keep it kind of low, a real kind of family-oriented thought process on this whole development. So I don't see any fault in the annexation at this point.
Yep.
No, I think it's I appreciate them being proactive. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the fact that the school district mm-hmm. is in favor of it. And the R4 zoning, I appreciate that as well. The one thing I'm curious about is I think it indicated that there was going to be 14 lots for family. And I just wonder if they're sure they want to be that close to their family.
That's the truth. Yep.
Yep. I appreciate their looking ahead, and I appreciate the R4, and already talking with the school district is
mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah, they're very proactive on this, it seems like. So with that, I could stand for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of case number 23-05-AN for 5200 South Black Cat to include staff comments and recommendations.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Next up on the agenda is case number 23-01-OA, ordinance amendment for Kena City Code Title 5 and 6 rewrite.
Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Doug Hansen, Kuna Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, Kuna, Idaho, 83634. Case number 23-01-08, ordinance amendment to combine Title 5 and 6 of Kuna City Code, was remanded back to the commission by the City Council on October 17th after the public hearing had been closed at the request of a citizen to submit additional testimony for the record. Prior to the City Council meeting on October 17th, a public open house was held on April 15th prior to the beginning of the public hearing process where citizens could come view proposed changes to Kuna City Code in person and ask questions. All testimony submitted as a result of the open house can be viewed within Exhibit 2.4. There were two public hearings before the commission held on June 13th and June 27th, 2023. There was no in-person testimony presented. There were two public hearings with the City Council held on September 5th and 19th, 2023. Four individuals provided testimony in person in total. Written testimony was available to be submitted at any point in the 5 months between April 5th and September 15th, 2023. The additional testimony submitted as a result of the application returning to the commission this evening can be viewed as exhibits 2.17, 2.18, and 2.20 in your packet. Exhibit 2.7A and 2.7B reflect the code changes recommended to the council by this commission and the additional changes requested by the council at the September public hearings. It is before the commission this evening to decide if they would like to recommend approval of the proposed code as presented this evening, or if they would like to see changes based upon the submitted and verbal public testimony presented, and if so, tabling the hearing to a later date in order for staff to prepare those changes. I will stand by for any questions.
Is there any questions at this time?
I'm looking for the documents he's referencing, so 2.17 and 2.18. Ah, they're there.
Okay, so with that, I'll go ahead and open the public testimony at 6:32. And we have two people on the list. Was there any other that has not got a chance to sign up? Would you like to come and sign up on this so we can get you on record here? Oh, you got one. You can pick your column. Okay, so first up on the list is Cindy Geisen. Geisen, sorry.
I'm going to read. Okay. Good evening, Planning and Zoning Commissioners. Thank you for having me. My name is Cindy Geisen, and my address is 1363 South Ash Avenue in Kuna. I am the reason you are here reconsidering the ordinance. I thank Kuna City Council members Larway, Briggs, and Bruce for finding a path so that my voice, my insights, and my testimony could be formally accepted as part of the P&Z agenda package, and that I now have 3 minutes to speak. I also want to publicly thank those council members for recognizing at their 9/6/23 public hearing that if this ordinance was passed as recommended, we the people would be losing many opportunities to have formal Kuna City public hearings. They fixed that, and that evidence is in 2.15. My testimony or my problems with this ordinance are all included in 2.20 document. So why I'm speaking, I'm an elected LD committeeman for Precinct 2307, and it's my responsibility to ensure that our elected representatives properly represent their constituents. I'm an experienced local community advocate and have been actively coming to CUNA meetings for 5 years. I want transparency, and I am driven to research the 5 W's and the H to find it. I sort of understand the city process. I usually know when I should just stand up and say something, and I know that you will listen. I have learned that our voices do matter in CUNA, and that our comments are helping CUNA maintain its rural identity. Most important, my life purpose is to help protect children, especially from predators, and with the introduction of the internet, and as our city grows, so grows those threats. I want CUNA to do everything possible to protect our children. So, I have these 3 minutes to share my concerns, but I have spent 40 hours plus trying to make sense of this ordinance. It's 257 pages with multiple references to city codes, other city codes, titles, and I can't imagine that you ever had enough time to even barely look at it. I know there are good and bad things in the rewrite or combining, whichever it really is, of these titles, and I personally feel that we are all being bamboozled, which means thrown into a state of confusion, of bewilderment, especially by being deliberately fooled and misled. Nobody should have to look at 257 pages of changes and make a decision from the Friday they get it to the Tuesday that they have to hear it. So I would like to consider, I have two considerations. Please send it back. The commissioners can please keep in mind that according to our current code, you can send it back for 125 days to be worked on. I didn't realize that would go so fast. So if they can't do that, I had a second consideration to not approve it or reject it, but at least send a few recommendations to City Council, especially in one case they defined adult-oriented businesses, and it should be sexually-oriented business, and this has a big impact on how we allow those businesses, and their codes are out of date. Okay, I wish I could share this all with you.
We have it in our packet, so we can definitely read it.
Right, but so. My recommendations about sending it back, I think you're allowed to do that if you don't feel like you have enough data. And yeah. I've got books of issues with this code.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to me. I appreciate you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Next up on the list is Beverly Wolf.
Beverly Wolf, 3420 West Commemoration Avenue. This code is deep. There's a lot of stuff in here that it was called Title V and Title VI, and you want to call it, I believe you're calling it the subdivision code? That doesn't ring well with me because it seems like you're playing to them. And in some cases, it seems that way because you're putting into effect, you're moving development agreements as a discretionary tool to a codified process. Well, I'm sure the lawyers have good reasons for that. There's issues about rezoning that apply to a political subdivision and that things can get moved one way or the other for that. That's interesting. I guess it's kind of like when a school district gets reassigned from one development, oh, well, we'll put it in a county because we can't have it here. I don't get it. And the biggest thing that I did get to stand up for was when, and I think you put it back in, so I appreciate that, but the fact that it was tried to be to remove public hearings. I don't think that should ever happen. I don't even think that you should not have a neighborhood meeting even if there are acres involved, because every time you flip something, it affects everybody around them. You know, you take something from rural and you make it high density or mixed use or whatever you're going to make it. Well, okay, just because I'm a mile away, that affected everybody's traffic getting home. So thank you for keeping the public hearing part. I hope that never tries to get written out again, because we, the people, should have a voice. I appreciate all the hard work that all of you do. You're very passionate as a staff, but you kind of forget one thing. I think sometimes it feels like that we, the people, pay your taxes. We, the people, fund your salary.
Thank you. And last up on the list, Sid and Anderso? Oh, okay.
Sid Anderson, 2500 East Rock Falls Lane, CUNA. Thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity, and I apologize that I wasn't involved in this process earlier through the public comment period and other opportunities that were allowed. I heard about this amendment that was in process some probably 3.5 years ago, but never really saw it going through the process until recently. And so I'm, you know, trying to get involved. I think for the most part, most of what I see in it is fairly innocuous. It's mostly the combining of 5 and 6 into one chapter. However, there are some changes, and some of those changes are deletions of portions of it. One portion that I do object to is the deletion of 5-16-3, which is the lot splits process of original tracts of record. I recently did a public records request to see how often this is used. According to the information I received back, there were some 14 lot split applications for an average of 2.8 per year over the last 5 years, or for an average of 8.4 lots over the last 5 years. A few of those lots include 7 1-acre lots, 3 1.5-acre lots, 3 1 3-acre lot, 1 7.5-acre lot, 1 10-acre lot, and 127-acre lot. Some of these don't seem appropriate to go through the subdivision process if we can have a simpler process. I think requiring all lands to go through the subdivision process actually hurts the rural nature of our community and forces community members to sell their land to developer when they just want to create a lot or something for their family member. In addition to that, the city of CUNA has annexed, whether you know that decision or not was the right one, but it has done this, significant tracts of land that are very rural and most of them are unserviceable currently. In fact, I did a quick search today just on Ada County records, and I figured that it's well in excess of over 15 square miles or over 10,000 acres that are outside of the serviceable area. To take those lands and say that the only process you can develop that even lightly is through the subdivision process, I think is burdensome and a little bit overreaching. I did talk with staff about this a little bit, and they said that they do plan to have an alternative in the future for those rural areas. My issue with that is that, simply saying that we're going to, eventually have something that we can evaluate and say whether it works or does not work is a little bit difficult for us to evaluate and compare them at this point in time. And especially, we've been working on this process for at least 2 years. So when does that begin, let alone when does it get put into place? I do have a copy of most of what I have here in a letter that I'll give to staff. They can make copies for you to make available. I think the allowing the lot splits process to continue actually allows for diversity of housing and diversity of communities. Within the past 6 years, there is...
we'll need to have you wrap up your comments.
Yep. There were, within 3 miles of me, there have been 6 homes that have been built that exceed $1 million in assessed value. None of them were done in a subdivision, and none of them probably would have been done through the subdivision ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. All Okay, so that wraps up everybody on the list for this application. Doug, do you have any comments in return?
At this point in time, no comments, but I'm happy to address any of your questions in regard to the testimony.
Thank you. So with that, I'll close the public hearing at, well, I guess I should ask, is there any discussions that anybody feels that would need the public hearing still open? Okay, with that, I close the public testimony at 6:44, and that brings up our discussions. I guess I'll start out a little bit here and just saying there's a lot there that, you know, I hadn't really looked at it the same way that some of the citizens had, and I'm trying to absorb both points of view still, and I'm kind of a little iffy on some of it.
So the thing I need to understand is what the new process for a lot split would be, and it's sounding like it would have to go through the full subdivision process, which is, you know, definitely a burden, and fiscally prohibitive. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did state that, you know, a lot of these homes are sure $1 million homes. One could make the argument that, okay, well, if they have $1 million to make a home, they've got, you know, 15 grand or whatever to go through the subdivision process. I don't necessarily like that perspective. So I would like to understand what that would look like if it passed the way it looks right now versus the old lot split thought process. Probably just by way of fees.
Okay. Is that something that you'd like some input from staff?
I believe so.
Could you help with that?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff. It is more expensive to go through the subdivision process than is the lot split process. The biggest issues or concerns that we see with the lot split process is, in many instances, these land divisions look a lot like the subdivision process that is required of other parcels that are not considered original based off of the date of origination of December of 1977. So what ends up happening is the city loses out on important infrastructure or infrastructure that could be readily connected to in the future. A majority of the time with lot splits, it does not require streetlights. It doesn't require sidewalks. It doesn't require roadways built to ACHD or city standards. So from a standpoint of there are instances on a case-by-case basis where, yes, lot splits do make sense, but it can create a burden for the future as the city continues to grow.
Follow-up question onto that is there anything currently set in the lot split ordinance that defines the minimum acreage of the split?
So currently there is no minimum acreage of a parcel size that could be created in the code.
All right. So potentially there's an opportunity there for us to amend the existing code to just reinforce it and really set it at something like a one acre or one and a half acre minimum that would kind of forestall some of these issues from the city's perspective.
Well, and like Mr. Anderson said, you know, of the ones that he brought up, there were several under three, and then there was a couple, I think one at around 10 and one at 127. And I would think it would be much more appropriate for the 127 acre to be a subdivision process, but not necessarily a 3 acre lot. I tend to agree with that.
Yeah, and I mean, and Doug does bring up an excellent point. I mean, there are opportunities that we've missed for, because, I mean, we have roads that are lacking that, mm-hmm. that because of the lack of the subdivision act. So it sounds like there's a balancing act that has to be achieved here.
Yeah, like I said, I'm still struggling with kind of where I'm at on some of this.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. You know, I think we need to look at it on a case-by-case situation. If you have 127 acres and you split it in half, I don't think you need to go through a subdivision process to do that. So I think it would have to be on a case-by-case basis.
Ginny, do you have any commentary up front?
No, I think I need more time on it. I think it's more extensive than I realized. I understand Doug's comment about if you have an acre and they're not required to put a sidewalk and they're, let's say they're on Linder Road, then I get that part too, that we need to have those infrastructures put in so they're not missed. And so I definitely see where he's coming from, but I think I need some more time on it.
Yeah, I think that's the other statement I really want to make is I think I would like some additional time to review there are several letters here that I'd like to spend some time with and get a little bit better understanding of the concerns.
Is that a motion?
Not yet.
Okay.
I was leaving it open for additional commentary.
You were waiting for Jim to do it.
So. No, not necessarily.
No, I mean, I'm kind of in that same spot, you know, like I said, is I'm kind of trying to take into account what our comments and our letters and what they've offered up as some of the conditions of approval, and trying to go in and do that over the weekend has been kind of tough. So I mean, I would tend to agree.
On that note, if we were to table this, are we indeed meeting on the 28th?
Yes.
All right. So the question is, does that 2 weeks give us enough time to review this, considering that we have the holiday next week? So if we're going to table it, where do we table it to? Because we'll need to table it to a certain date, I would imagine.
For the record, Doug Hansen, Cater Planning and Zoning staff, we would prefer that you table to a date certain.
Yeah, that way the notice still occurs.
Yeah,
still,
I agree.
I think, speaking for myself, I think it would be enough, a lot more time than I've had over the weekend. I think, especially in knowing what I need to look at, I think it would be okay.
Agreed.
And for the record, Doug Hansen, Kuna Planning and Zoning staff, just to confirm with your motion, when it is made, you will be keeping the public hearing closed, allowing yourselves more time in order to read the comments, and then be able to present staff recommended changes at the next hearing to then make.
Okay. Yes.
I am going to wait for Jim to make that motion.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, I move that we table case number 23-01-OA, ordinance amendment to combine Title V and Title VI subdivision regulations into one development regulation table to a date certain of November 28th, 2023.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. With that, I have no further items on the agenda. Is there any other staff reports to be made?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn tonight's meeting.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.